Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Chisda. As we discussed at the end of the previous shiur, Rav Chisda taught us that Tovus Baal Choy V'Mokim Shechav L'Cheirim. Even though, as we discussed in the previous shiur, there is a concept of Zochen L'Adam Shlai V'Fanav, I could see something, I could take ownership of something on behalf of someone else if it's something that's a benefit for him. The Mara taught us that if it's b'makom shechav l'acherim, that by my doing this I'm causing harm to someone else, there the Gemara said it's not acceptable. Now Rav Chisda suggests that a tovus b'chay b'makom shechav l'acherim is actually bana l'machloikas Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan. Is actually the subject of a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Masech de Peya. We know that one of the matnas aniyim is that a person has to leave pay in his field. Says the Mishnah, Mishalek liket es peya. If somebody collected peya, but not on his own behalf. Ama arezu l'ploini ani. I'm collecting it on behalf of this poor person. Rabbi Elazar I'm a zachaloi. Rabbi Elazar says that it's effective. It's effective. It's not effective. So the Gemara wants to suggest that Rabbi Elazar, who says that it's effective, this is a case of a toifus lebal choif. I'm collecting something for this ani, but mokum shechav lacherim, which at the expense of all other aniim. And Rabbi Elazar says that it is acceptable. Obviously, holds that a toifus lebal choif, even the mokum shechav lacherim, is fine. And Rabbanon disagree. Amma Meimah Vitem Rapapa. So Meimah says, Dimalohi, this comparison is not accurate. Because Atkan Lekom Rabbi Elazar Hossam, Rabbi Elazar over there suggested that I could take Matnas Aniyim on behalf of someone else, because there's a special concept here. The Migu Di Boy Mafkele L'Nechsei, if I wanted, I could have made myself into an Ani. How could I make myself into an Ani by declaring that everything I own is Hefker, and therefore, v'hava Ani v'chazilei, so now I could be a person that could collect Matas Aniyim. And now we go a step further, so since Migad is Zoch L'Nafshi, since I could collect on my own behalf, the Aloch is Zoch L'Chavrei, that's why I could collect on behalf of someone else also. Aval Hocha, in a case where we don't have this special line of reasoning, Rabbi Elazar agree that Hatafs Bachoy B'Makim Shechav L'Acherim will not be effective. So the Gemara, this is really a Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, and the Rishonim and Achronim make a number of important issues they raise in understanding this Gemara. The case of our Gemara is where someone who's not entitled to Peya is collecting Peya on behalf of someone who is, at the expense of everyone else. What will be the halacha if the person who's collecting peya is a person who is entitled to peya? He himself is an ani, but instead of collecting this peya on behalf of himself, he's collecting it on behalf of another poor person. What will be the din then? And really, it's the subject of machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that in such a case, even the rabbanan would agree that it's effective. Why? Because in a case that the person who's picking up the payah is a wealthy person, as the Gemara just said, we have to rely on two miguis. The first migui is migui mafkel nechsei, and then the second migui is the zochle nafshei. But in the case where the person is himself poor, we only have one migui. And there could be, even the Rabbanan would agree that we say migui. There's another opinion in the Rishonim that said that the Rabbanan don't differentiate whether we're going to say two miguis or one migui. And in all cases, the Rabbanan don't subscribe to this concept of migui. And yet there's a third opinion that says that only in the case of the person who himself is picking up is an ani, does Rabbi Elazar say that we say the migui, because we only have to say one migui. But in the case that we have to have two miguis, the case that we've been describing, that the person who's picking it up is himself a wealthy person or not an ani, there even Rabbi Elazar would agree that you don't say two mikos. But then Rashi in Masechta Bava Metzia makes another comment. He says, what would be the halacha according to Rabbi Elazar if the person who's picking it up on behalf of the ani is the owner of the field? What would be the din then? So there Rashi says, even Rabbi Elazar would agree that that wouldn't be acceptable. And the question is very obvious. Why can't we say migui? The same migui that we could say about anyone else that Rabbi Elazar is obviously saying, we could say on the owner of the field. So Chaim Brisker explains Rashi's opinion very beautifully. He says, there are two issues when someone is picking up pay for someone else. There's a financial issue. Are you entitled to pay you? And then there's an isser, that an owner of the field has a din that he has to leave pay for someone else. He can't take it from himself, as we're going to learn in the Gemara moment. So even in a case, so yes, the financial issue could be resolved with the migui. But if I'm the owner of the field, I have an isser, that I have a din that I have to leave pay you. And that the migui cannot take care of. And therefore, Rashi says that the owner of the field can never pick up payah for someone else. Shabina Rav has a different way of explaining Rashi's opinion. Shabina Rav says that Hefker doesn't create a situation that I'm totally no longer an owner of the field. Hefker has a certain level of accomplishment, but not that high level. And since it doesn't have that ability, so therefore, even if I'm mafka my field, it's still my field, and therefore we can't say the migui. Drabonim, that kamakam rabonim hasam, eldik sivloi salakat l'oni. Where the Torah goes out of its way in saying that one person can't collect for someone else. Loi salakat l'oni. Aval hacha, and in any other case, it could well be that the Rabbanu will hold hatovs tabal chayiv, even when mokum shechav lacherim, it is acceptable. However, Tosis points out that that's not the din. Certainly the Rabbanon hold, as we learned in the previous year, that a tovs tabal chayiv and mokum shechav lacherim is not effective. Just the Gemara is trying to say that we don't have a raya from what the Rabbanon said there. Ask the Gemara, the Rabbi Elazar, who holds that one person can pick up pay for someone else. What is he going to use that pasuk for? But Rabbi Elazar highlights slaket my avodlei. What's he going to use that pasuk for? Says the Gemara, "Mboilei lahazel oni shaloi." To teach us a din. That let's say you have a person who's poor. He's entitled to collect matnas aniyim, but he happens to own a field, and from a field you have to leave payah. Could the oni take it for himself, or does he have to leave it for someone else? That's what the pasuk teaches us. Lahazel oni al shaloi. That even if you're a poor person, payah you have to leave. So I sort of paiskim, based on this Gemara, ask a very interesting question. Can someone collect staka, someone who himself, Baruch Hashem, is not entitled to collect staka, allowed to collect staka for someone else who is entitled? Our Gemara is teaching us that according to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to collect staka for someone else. You're not allowed to take pay for someone else. So could you collect staka for someone else? Well, we of course know that the Gemara discusses, and there are many other situations where we find that people did collect staka for others. But according to this Gemara, how was that acceptable? So the way we explain the Gemara, that the Chachamim teach us that there's a special din that tells us by payah, one person can't collect payah for someone else. That's a special din in payah, but that's not a din in all hilchos staka. And that's why the din is, the place can say that one person can collect staka on behalf of someone else, certainly if he's notifying the people who he's collecting from that it's not for myself, Baruch Hashem, I'm just doing it on behalf of people who need it. Shemir Tzishloi Lozen. So just to quickly review, the subject, the primary subject of the mission that we discussed yesterday was going back to what we said at the beginning of the shir, Zochen L'Odom Shloi B'Fonov. And the question was, everybody agreed, remained the Chachamim, that a get is not considered a schus, and therefore I can't pick up a get on behalf of a woman without her actually receiving it. We had a machlokas remained the Chachamim regarding a shtar shichur, where a may considers a shtar shichur also a chayiv, and Rabbanah hold it's a schus. And the Mishnah, in saying that an Eved, why is it considered, why isn't it Ramei correct? It's certainly a Chayiv. Isn't the owner obligated to support the Eved, and now by him getting freed, he doesn't have that means of support. So the Mishnah said, Shim Yirtza Shloi Lozen Avdoi, the owner doesn't have to support his Eved, he has the right. So what happens now in the Gemara is very interesting. The Gemara now focuses on a subject which is really not the direct issue of the Mishnah. The Gemara focuses, this is what Chassam Sofer explains the Gemara. The focus of the Gemara now is, what is or isn't the obligation of an owner towards his Eved? Shamat mina. So we learn Mishnah simply, that the Mishnah says that the owner is not obligated to support the Eved, and therefore saying that when he's freed, he loses this benefit. So obviously our Mishnah holds, the Yochal Rav Loimel Eved, owner could tell his Eved, Aseimi Veinizoncha. You have to work, but I don't have to support you. And of course, the Rishonim point out that this discussion is limited to an Eved Kanani. By Eved Ivri, an owner never has this option. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. We're not talking about a case where the Odin could tell the Eved, you work, but don't get supported. He tells the Eved, you have to work, but what you need to support yourself, you could take off to live. So Sorab Aralev Steinman asks, how can we suggest that say Mas Yedechlam Zonasecha should be effective? What are we saying? That he'll work or collect stock or whatever the case is, and it'll be his. Don't we have a rule that Komash Kona Evid Kona Rabbi? So he says, Komash Kona Evid Kona Rabbi, there are two ways of avoiding that question. One is that people give him food with the express condition that his owner should have no rights to it. Or certainly, the Torah understands that he has to live somehow. And if everything he owns he's going to have to turn over, how's he going to live? Reb Baruch Ber says that even as we're learning now, the halacha is tzei mas yedechav zonasecha is acceptable to say an eved, but if that's the kind of relationship that the owner wants to have with the eved, he has to expressly declare it. And without him expressly declaring it, the owner has the obligation to support him. So our Mishnah contrasted a wife to an Eved. And by Eved we're learning now that you could tell the only thing you could tell the Eved is Tzai Masi Dechav Zonasecha. So we contrast the wife, the Kavasoga B'isha, it must be a case, Domelo Tzai Masi Dechav Zonasecha. Also, and we're saying that by an Eved we can, and by an Isha we can't. Ask the Gemara, Isha my loy. We learned the Masech Tiksubis, many Dafim, that teach us that a husband and wife can have such an arrangement. Says the Gemara, Isha b'loy sabka. You can't make such an arrangement with your wife where if she earns money and it isn't enough for her to live on. Says the Gemara, Eved nami b'loy sabka. And there you're going to have to give her, and you can't just say that earn, and if you don't earn enough, I can't help you. Says the Gemara, Eved nami b'loy sabka. So by an Eved, why don't we say the same? Answers the Gemara, Eved enom kreise lo shavya. If an Eved doesn't earn enough that he makes enough to supply his own food, Lamar Lamas Lamai Mitbe, why would I want to keep such an Eved? So the Gemara is differentiating that by a wife, even if she can't earn enough for what she needs, she's your wife and you're obligated to support her. By an Eved, if he doesn't earn enough, then you don't have to supply him with the difference. And Tosfos explains the Gemara very beautifully, the Havamina and the Maskana. Tosfos says the Havamina of the Gemara was, because it's difficult to understand the Havamina. Why would anybody think that I have to take money out of my pocket to support the Eved? Why would I have to take a loss? So Tosfos says that the Gemara and the Havamina felt that even if the Eved is working for his own support, the extra that he's earning is, he's still working for me also. He's not only working for himself. And therefore, I should be obligated to have to give him the surplus that he needs to survive. And it says, the Gemara, I'm not obligated to do that. And if he can't make enough to survive, then I don't have any responsibility. So the Gemara is still focusing on this question. Does an owner have a right to tell an Eved, you have to work and not get supported, or does he not have that right? Toshma, the Bryce says, Eved should go to Leah Miklat. An Eved that was sent to Ari Miklat, ain Rabbi Chayiv Lezoinai. His owner doesn't have to support him. V'loy oid, el shemas yod l'rabbi. What he earns goes to his owner. So if we learn the Brisa simply, the Brisa seems to be saying Shma mina. Yochar Rav loymel evit. That an owner could tell his evit. Asay imi v'enezoncha. You have to work and I don't have to support you. I keep what you own. So isn't this a proof? And says Gemara, no. Hochem ma'iskinen. It's referring to a case that I told the Eved, what you earn, first you take what you need to live. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that it's referring to a case that I told the Eved, you support yourself, then why is the Braisa say, so why am I entitled to his earnings? I'm not entitled to his earnings. He keeps his earnings for his own support. And says the Gemara, lahadofa. What the Braisa means that I'm entitled to what he earns above what he needs to live. Ask the Gemara, Hadofa Pshita, it's obvious that I'm entitled to the extra. He's my Evid. Answers the Gemara, Madutai Mekim de Chalilesle, since if the Evid didn't have enough to live, Lo Yovle, I'm not responsible to make up what he doesn't have enough. Perhaps we should say, ki islay, if he does make extra, this, it should go both ways. Nami lo lishkmonay, I have no right to take that extra from him. Kamashmon, if he doesn't make enough, I don't have to supply the extra. But if he makes extra, I'm entitled to it. Says the Gemara, and this again, the way Taisus learns the Gemara. If that's the lesson of this Braisa, what does it have to teach us about the Ari Miklat? And Taisus explains the Gemara question beautifully. We're going to learn, actually, in a moment, that there's more of a responsibility to support people that live in the Ari Miklat than anywhere else. Because they're not at home. They don't have the normal means of support. So if the Braisa is teaching me that asei imi ve'eni zoncha is acceptable, so then we could understand where the Braisa chose a case of Ari Miklat. Then not only at home can I tell an Eved asei imi ve'eni zoncha, but even in the Ari Miklat, I could tell him that. But if we're saying now that that's not what the Braisa means, we're saying now that the Braisa is talking and teaching us that I could tell him, I can't tell him I say even in Zoncha. The case is the way I'm telling him, see Masi Yudech V'Mazan Asecha. So why do we have to teach it to us in the Ari Miklat? Answers the Gemara. Sakadat Techamina. V'chai. The Torah uses the word V'chai by the Ari Miklat. Ovelei Chayusei Tfei. Maybe, indeed, at home, if the Eved earns more than he needs to live, I get the extra. But in the Ari Miklat, perhaps there I don't have that right, because the Torah says that we have to go out of the way to support Avodim in the Ari Miklat, Kamash Malon, that the din isn't different in the Ari Miklat than at home. The extra that the Eved earns, the owner receives. Ask Baruch Ber, the pasuk that says V'chai is not a pasuk that said to the owner. The pasuk that says V'chai is said to Bezdin. So why should I, what's the havmina that I should have to support him? Answers Rav Baruch Ber. Of course the Torah tells Bezdin, the people who run to Ari Miklat, we have a responsibility to support them. But in Eved, the owner always has a relationship with him. So the Torah is telling Bezdin, these people, Nebuchadnezzar and Ari Miklat, support them. But Eved is different. He's my responsibility. And perhaps that responsibility brings with it that when he's in the Ari Miklat, even if he earns more than he needs, he ought to be allowed to keep it. That's what the Pasuk teaches. That's what the Gemara teaches us, not like that. Ask the Gemara. V'amidik tani seifa. How can we explain the Braisa that way? Ask the Gemara. We learned in the seifa of that Braisa. Avalisha should also learn Miklat. If a woman goes to the Ari Miklat, the halach is balachayiv b'mizun aseha. Mechlal, the loy amal. It must be, the Braisa must be referring to a case where the husband did not tell the wife, see masi yudech b'mizun aseha. The amal abala. For if the Braisa is indeed talking about a case where the husband made a deal with his wife, you work and keep what you earn, amai chayiv. So why does he have to give her? So if we're now explaining that obviously the sefer is not referring to a case where the husband told her, see masi yudech b'mizun aseha, obviously, reishanami de loy amalei. That's not referring to such a situation. Says the Maraloy and Amalei. The entire Braisa is referring to a case where he told the wife, and he told the Eved, you keep what you earn for what you need. The Isha, but the Braisa, but the wife is talking about a case, but loy sapka, where she doesn't earn enough, and the husband, the Braisa is teaching us, has the obligation to make up the difference. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain this part of the Braisa that way. Let's continue learning that Braisa. The Amidik Tani Sefer, the Braisa continues in teaching us that if Amalot Sey Masi Dechem Zon Asecha, in such a situation, Rishoy, he has a right to say that to his wife. Mechlal, the Reish Loy Amalot. So isn't this conclusive proof that the beginning of the Braisa is not referring to a case where he said, Sey Masi Dechem Zon Asecha? And it's the Gemara Hachikama. The Braisa in the last case is, all the cases about a wife are talking about a case where he told it, Sey Masi Dechem Zon Asecha. Hachikama. Vim Misapekis. If the wife earns enough, v'amaloi, si masi dechav zanasecha, Rishoy, he's allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, if that's what the last case of the Braisa is teaching us, so the question is, misapekas ma'ala memra, why do I need the Braisa to teach me that? If I tell her that she's allowed to keep what she earns, and she's earning Baruch Hashem enough to live, why would I need a Braisa to teach us? This is an old din that we learned in Masechta Ksubis. Answers the Gemara, manatei mekol kvud basmelech k'mima k'mash malam. So as the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, there's a concept of kol kvud basmelech panima. A Jewish woman has to act with sneeze. So a woman at home, everybody knows what her profession is. Or if she has a business, everybody knows what she sells. So she could stay at home and do her job. Dari Miklat, she's a stranger. So there maybe I would think, I have no right to tell her, go work and earn and keep what you earn to live. Because it requires her to go out to the street. Mashmalan, that we don't follow that. So if we learn the Gemara simply, it seems to be, the Chasam Sofer, both in the Chedushim, the Shas and Tshuvas discussed this, it seems to, the Gemara seems to be saying that we don't say kol kvud basmelech panima, that a woman should go out. Of course, says the Chasam Sofer, that's not the way to understand the Gemara. Of course, a woman has, we have to be careful about the tzniyus of a woman. What the Gemara is teaching us, she has to do what she has to do to make a living, but more than that, she doesn't have to do. I also saw a very interesting observation that the Rugged Shover and the Ein Yitzchak make. We know, Rashi says this in the Chumash, that Talmud Shagola, Goyal and Rabbi Imai. If somebody's Talmud goes to Golas, the Rebbe goes with him. Here we're learning that if a wife goes to Golas, the husband doesn't go along. Because what's the situation? The wife's in Golas, and what is the relationship between the husband and wife? So even though when a Talmud goes to Golas, the Rebbe goes along, when a wife goes to Golas, the husband doesn't necessarily go along. Why? So I saw a very beautiful pshat. The klal is that Adam would loyalim. Even when somebody does something to Shaggy, he's really responsible for his actions. So if you have a Talmud that killed someone with Shaggy, you, the Rebbe, are not completely innocent. And therefore, when your Rebbe goes to Golas, when your Talmud goes to Golas, you have to go along. A husband is certainly not responsible for what his wife does. And therefore, if the wife killed someone b'shagig, the husband doesn't have to go to Golas along with her. So the Gemara continues to try to bring a raya. So the Gemara wants to say that this subject, if a husband could tell, if an eved, if an adin could tell his eved, I say imi ve'enezanch is a subject of a machloikas tanoim. It says in a braisa, shivin gamlil oimer, yochel eved loim l'rabbi, an eved could tell his owner, b'shnei b'tzuris in a hunger year, you don't have the option to tell me you're not going to support me. The Chum Oimrim, the Chum say, no, it's just Biyad Rabbi. So Gemara wants to suggest, what is the subject of the Machloik between of Shem Gamliel and the Chachamim? The master of a Yochel. The Chachamim say that I could tell my Eved work and I don't have to support you. Or master of any Yochel. I don't have the right to say that. Says the Gemara, the Tisbra, is that the way to understand this Machloikis? If that's what the machloikis means, then Rav Shimon Gamliel's wording is incorrect. When Rav Shimon Gamliel says the words, either support me or let me go out free, what he should have really said was, if we want to be accurate, either support me or let me keep what I earn. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel should have said. If that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to tell us, that our owner doesn't have a right to tell his Eved, you can't, that I'm not going to support you, so why does the Braisa have to speak about a case of Shnei Betzuris? Any year, that's the case. Says the Gemara, we're talking about a case where the owner told the Eved, you earn what, you keep what you earn to support yourself. However, it's a hungry year. With Shnei Betzuris, it's a hungry year. And therefore, Lois Sipek, the Eved doesn't have enough from what he earns. Rav Shimon Gamliel Sofer, if at that point that's the situation, the Eved could turn around to the owner and say, either give me what I need, or let me out. Why? Because what do you want me to do? Collect tzedaka? Nobody's going to give me tzedaka. Because kiheche dechazli inish umrachmalei. I want to be able to collect, but I need not to be an eved to be able to collect. Rabbanan tzavri, man d'merachma b'nei chayri, whoever has rachmanas on people who aren't avadim, avdi nami rechumim rachim. In other words, the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Gamliel is reduced to one point. Will people give tzedaka the same way to an eved as they will to a non-eved? Shimon Gamliel says people aren't going to give tzedaka to an eved because people's attitude will be go to your owner. And the Chachamim disagree and they say people will give to an eved also. So there's a number of points to make learning this Gemara. According to Shimon Gamliel, he tells his owner, either support me or let me out. Question is, we discussed yesterday, there's a din in Torah, l'olam behem tavoidu. We're not allowed to free slaves. So how could the eved tell the owner, free me? So one teretz that I saw is, the eved is really telling the owner something deeper. He's saying, if you're not going to let me out, I'm going to start stealing. I'm going to it's going to be a crime wave. Your being over that one avera freeing me is a lot better than the other option. Or, Mepharshim say, the halacha is that you're not allowed to free an eved, but this is a situation b'kuch nefesh. He has nothing to live on. There, certainly, you're allowed to free him. The Shalomeshev asks the question. The Torah says, lo sechanim. We're not allowed to give an akum a gift. So how could the Gemara suggest that how could the Rabbanan suggest that we're going to give the avodim tzedakah? There's a din of lo sechanim. So I saw two truths. One Torah says, we're going to learn later in the Masechta. The Gemara says, mefarnesin aniyei akum aniyei Yisrael. We do give tzedakah to aniyei akum v'mnei darki shalom. So you are allowed to give tzedakah to an eved kanani. The Shalomeshev says that when the Torah tells us lois sechanim, the Torah means you're not allowed to give them a big gift. But here we're talking about just giving them a small amount of tzedakah. That isn't included in the isra of lois sechanim. So I saw Ramesha asks a very interesting question. We all know, we say it every day in Krishma. You first have to give your animals to eat, and then you have to give people to eat. So as you see how careful the Torah is that we even have to have rachmanis on animals. So ask Rav Moshe, if we have to have rachmanis on animals, so certainly we have to have rachmanis on humans. So how could the Gemara even have a havamina that we could tell an eved, asay imi ve'ein ezoncha? What kind of rachmanis is that? So Moshe says, based on this Gemara, the answer is very simple. An animal who doesn't receive food from his owner, what's going to be left? He's going to starve. A person has always the ability to collect tzedakah, and therefore we can't bring a raya from behemoth tavod. This Gemara I saw is the basis for a beautiful vart. We find that when Yaakov got the brachas from Yitzchak, and then Esav comes to Yitzchak, and he says, "Halo yatzati li bracha, don't you have any bracha left over for me?" So Yitzchak says, "Ma'as l'chabani, I can't help you. Hengver samte ilach. I made Yaakov your owner. V'sachav la'avodim. I made all of Yaakov's brothers his avodim. V'dogim v'sirish samachtiv. I promised him that he's going to have an abundance of produce. V'kein halcha ma'as l'chabani, what can I do for you?" So the Migdal David asks a question. What was Yitzchak telling Yaakov? There's no point in giving you anything. Because you're an eved to Yaakov. V'kama shekana eved kana rabbi. Beautiful. So why is Yitzchak saying, v'dogim tzirah tzimachtiv, that I promised him an abundance? What does that have to do with the bracha? So he says, beautiful pshat. Yaakov Avinu told Yitzchak told Esav, you're his eved. And therefore, there's no point in giving you a bracha. Everything you get is his. But Esav came to the Daf Yomi Shir. And Esav said, you know, there's a way I could go free. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel just taught us that if the owner can't support the Eved in a hunger year, then he has a right to request to be freed. So Yitzchak said, "V'dogim v'sirish samachtiv." He's never going to be poor, and you'll never come to such a point, and therefore there is no point in giving you a bracha. Says the Gemara, "Toshma, Doma Rav, Magdish Dei Avdoi." Now somebody is Magdish, that everything his Eved earns is Hegdish. The halacha is, Oysa levit, love of achel, the eved borrows to eat, vice a parain, then he pays back. So, Meiri asks, why does the Eved have to borrow? If he was Magdish to Eved, Hegdish should support the Eved. So the Meiri gives two terutzim. One terutz, he says, is that even a behemoth that's Hegdish cannot be supplied with Hegdish food. Another terutz, he says, is that the way it would work is that you would have to take Hegdish food and redeem it. So the Gemara is looking for another approach how he could be supported. Shmamina. If I could be Magdish all of my Avodim's work, Shmamina Yochal Rav Loimel Eved, obviously this price holds that I could tell my Eved, a save me man is Ancha, that everything you earn I keep. Says Gemara, no. Hochamai Skinen, Bemaloi Mazonis, where I'm supporting him. Says the Gemara, if I'm supporting Lamai Love of Ancha, so why does he have to borrow to eat? I'm supporting him. Says the Gemara, Ladofa. He's allowed to borrow to get what he needs to eat, that past the basic support that I give him. Ask the Gemara, hard to understand. V'lemelei Hegdish. Hegdish should tell this Eved. Ad hashta, until you were the Eved of Hegdish, sagalach b'lo yadofa. You had to accept what your owner gave you for support. V'hashta nami, tizgalach b'lo yadofa. Why should Hegdish have to give you extra? Answers the Gemara, Hegdish gufi nichalei. Hegdish is prepared and satisfied to give him the extra. Why? Kech de leshpech avdei. And the Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara very beautifully. What is the Hegdish only entitled to? To hadofa. The basic amount that the Eved earns, he keeps. All he's going to keep, get, all Hegdish is going to get is hadofa. How are we going to get to a point that there is hadofa? If the Eved is strong and healthy, then they'll be able to produce extra. So Hegdish makes a cheshbin. It's worthwhile to give the Eved extra. Like that, we'll be able to get some hadofa. And so what did the Brisa say? What does this Eved do? He works, and whatever he works, he uses to pay. He borrows money for support, and what he earns, he uses to pay back. Ask the Gemara, Oyster Pereya, whatever he earns, he uses to pay back to the people he borrowed food from, or money for food from. Ask the Gemara, every drop of work that he makes is Hegdish. Answers the Gemara, but Pox Mishar Pruta. As Rashi explains, Hegdish is not Chal on less than a Shava Pruta. And therefore, he earns less than a Shava Pruta. Hegdish is not Chal on it, and Hegdish is not Chal on it. That's the amount that he could pay back to the people he borrowed from. So the Mefarshim ask, it's difficult to understand. Hegdish is not chal on Pox Mishav Pruta. We know, discussed many times, the concept of Mila BeHegdish. So what would be the din if I'm Moil and a Chatzi Pruta of Hegdish? And then I'm Moil and another Chatzi Pruta of Hegdish. So I won't be over Mila because it wasn't one Pruta? It's clearly not the din that way. So what's the Gemara saying that there is no Hegdish below a Pruta? So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is, certainly if I'm moil with a half a pruta, and then I'm moil later with another half a pruta, I'm considered that I was moil. But there it's a case where I started with something that was worth a pruta. And instead of being moil with the entire pruta at one time, I did it piecemeal. Here the Hegdish was only, never got to the point of a pruta. There Hegdish is not chal. That's one teretz. Another teretz that I saw the Mefarshim explain is that under normal circumstances, Hegdish is even chal on a Pox Mishav pruta. Here we have no choice, because otherwise how would the Eved eat? And therefore the owner, when he was Magdish, he made up front that if on the mount that's Pox Mishav Pruta, the Hegdish should never take hold. Says the Mar, Hoch Nami Mestabra, that this is the way to understand Rav's opinion. Domer Rav. Rav says, a Magdish day Eved, if somebody is Magdish what the Eved earns, Oysa Eved Oysav Oichel. What the Eved makes, he eats. Delay Avda, if he doesn't do it, man palachlei. If he doesn't take the food from himself, how will he eat? So now we have a stira. Before he says loy v'vayichel, and here it says he keeps it for himself. If we're going to say that the first brisa is talk where the hegdish is chal is talking that the owner is supporting him. And the owner can't tell the Eved, Aseimi v'ena zoncha. V'habish ena mala. And this price is referring to the case where he doesn't support him, the yochel. And therefore, since he's not being supported, he supports himself. We could understand, the loy avda man polachlei. Man debay nechfachei. What do you mean? What's the question? Whoever wants should work with him. Elo shmamina any yochel. It must be that the difference is here I'm supporting him and here I'm not. Here I'm not supporting him. But never is there an option of a say imi v'eni zoncha. So what we're up to now is the Rav clearly holds that an eved, that an owner never has the option to tell an eved a say imi v'eni zoncha. Toshma. We know the halacha is that if somebody damages someone else, he's mechuyev to pay him nezek tzar ripu shevus and boishes. To review quickly, nezek is his depreciation in value. If he was sold as an eved before this damage or after this damage. Tzar is that, let's say the damage done to him was that a hand was cut off. But it's cut off in a violent way. What's the difference if he had to have his hand cut off? It could be cut off with anesthesia or without anesthesia. Ripui is the doctor bills. Shevis is that now that the person's value went down, he still has value to work. But while he's laid up, he can't even do that. And Baishis is the embarrassment that he went through getting damaged. If somebody cuts off the hand of his Eved, nice and shift the refus to the rabbi, he has to give Shevis and Ripui to the rabbi. For Ois Eved, Nizim and Atztaka. Now why is he Nizim and Atztaka? Why isn't the owner supposed to support him? Or if the owner doesn't support him, doesn't he keep the money that he earns for himself? It must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds, Shmamina, Yochal Rav Loim Leved. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the owner can tell his Eved, Asay imi ve'en izoncha. Says the Gemara, Hochel ma'iskin ve'mal loim izonis. No, we don't have to explain it this way. We could say that Bryce, Rabbi Yochanan is referring to a situation where I'm supporting him. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if I'm supporting him, if I'm supporting him, the owner supporting him, why does he have to take the stock of funds? Says the Gemara, because he needs more. Ask the Gemara, Yochin Nizbarnis. The word Misbarnis, the word Yochin Nizan means basic support. Says the Gemara, basic support is not what he's entitled to. He's only entitled to extra. That's what we're saying. So the word isn't Nizan. The right word to use then is Misbarnis Boilei. Like the Achronim explained, Chaznish says this, others say this, this Eved is normally able to live off what the owner gives him. But a person who's sick needs to eat more, either because he needs to get better, so he needs to eat more to get strength back, or usually sick people we give better food to, that's why there's Hadofa, El Shlav. So since the Braisa didn't use the word Nizan, rather used the word Mispanis, Shmamina, from here we see, that owner could tell the Eved, Asay mi ve'en izoncha, I'm not obligated to support you, and therefore you're on your own, and therefore Tztaka should support you. Shmamina. So what we're up to now is, we have Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav, an owner cannot say Asay mi ve'en izoncha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Eved can. Adon can say that. Says the Gemara, Amamau. So the Gemara goes a little deeper into this. Nice and shift the refuas to the rabbi. Yeah, Shevis and Ripi go to the owner. Says the Gemara, Shifta, Pshita. Because why do we explain Shevis is? The amount he could have earned, even for his lesser position now, but now he can't even do that because he's sick. So we understand that that goes to the owner. However, Rufuasoi, Shifta Pshita. So why does the Rabbi Yochanan have to teach it? Answers the Gemara, Rufuasoi Istrichalei. Rufua is the Chiddush, that it goes to the owner. Says the Gemara, Rufuasa the Dehi, the Bayit Suyabei. And Rabbi Chanan explains the Gemara the following way. Rufua, doctor bills, is not to be understood as a financial obligation, meaning that the Eved or anyone is damaged, and we assess that the medical bills will be whatever number it is, and we have to give those medical bills to the Eved. Rufua is a payment that is for services rendered. Rabbi Chanan says a gevalde gezach. Let's say you'll have a case that somebody damaged someone else. He harmed him. And he's obligated to pay ripui. And then, not because of that injury, the person dies. You don't have to give ripui. Ripui isn't a chayv. It's not like a debt that the person who damaged has. Ripui is an obligation to pay his doctor bills. So why does the owner get the ripui? Answers the Gemara. They made an assessment that this Eved will have to be in the hospital 5 days. Vavdalei Samach Harifa, but they took some drastic steps. And he was able to leave the hospital because they gave him very rigorous treatments in 3 days. So who's entitled to that differential? The Eved or the owner? Kamashmuan, that the owner gets it. So again, so the way we have to understand the Gemara is like this. The doctor bills are the patient gets, because he's the one that is sick, and he's the one that has to pay the doctor bills. But the differential, that's not doctor bills. So the one that did the hezek has to pay that differential. But who gets it? The owner gets the differential. This also machloikis, is he entitled to boishes? The Gemara discusses the Masechta Baba Kama, if there is boishes tavodim or not. So now the Gemara is saying that a say imi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, an owner has always a right to say a say imi veinizoncha. Ask Taisus. We learned in the Gemara on Amun Aleph that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the Eved could tell his owner that if I'm not earning enough to live, then you have to free me. So obviously, an Eved can't be in a situation of a say imi veinizoncha. Because if the halach is a say imi veinizoncha, how could Eved turn around to the Adon and say that you're not giving me enough, therefore free me? So Taisus says that even Rabbi Yochanan, who says that an owner could tell an Eved, a say imi veinizoncha, that's only in years where everything is fine, where the economy is fine. Because there the owner could tell the Eved, you work for me, and what are you going to live off? You'll collect staka. But certainly in a Shnei Betzuris, where it's difficult to collect staka, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that the owner does not have the option to say to the Eved, a say imi veinizoncha.